Max is going to come up and read 1 Corinthians 16, 5 to 11 for us, and afterwards Bert will come up.
After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend more time with you, if the Lord permits. But now I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost, because the great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. When Timothy comes, to see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers.
Thanks, Max. And Matt, for leading our service. We're looking at the book of Corinthians, or this passage comes from Corinthians. And I'd just like to very briefly give a little bit of context. In the book of Corinthians, Paul has been preaching and teaching about many things. For example, in chapter 11, he speaks about the Lord's Supper. Chapter 12, he speaks about spiritual gifts and the body, the church. Chapter 13, it's about love. Chapter 14, more about worship. Chapter 15, a great chapter on the resurrection. And this last chapter, chapter 16, is where Paul kind of gives some passing comments, some personal comments. And it's not really that he's setting out to explain significant doctrines for the church. He tells us about his plans. For example, I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost. We don't quite know how many months that was, but he was just sharing his plans with them. And then he says why he's staying on at Ephesus. And that's the text for tonight. Because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us, and all of it is your word. The scriptures reveal to us who you are. The scriptures reveal to us our sorry situation, our state, our plight because of sin, ours and the sin we were born with. And the scriptures declare the beauty of our Saviour, the King of Glory. And we pray that you'll help us to trust him more and serve him better, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today I want to focus on the concept of a door, as that's in verse 9, a great door for effective work. So Paul's explaining why he's staying put. Because there's an open door, and he uses that metaphor. And I'm sure that's not something that's hard to understand. We're all clear and familiar with that illustration. But when I read this recently, it challenged me. And I hope today too you'll be challenged. It's not a door that's closed, but it's a door that's open. And an open door, of course, means to go through that and to enter in. But before we go on to look at these verses or these sentences in 1 Corinthians 16, I'd just like to share with you another place where this concept of a door is used in a different way. And then I've chosen Psalm 24. And so that's going to come up on the screen. And I'd just like to read a couple of verses at a time and just think about this idea from Psalm 24. The psalmist begins, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Well, all of history, we don't know how many people have lived in it, but we kind of know that today there are 8,000 million people living in the world. 8 billion are living in the world. The earth is the Lord's, the world, and all who live in it. He founded it on the seas and established it on the waves. And David reminds us of creation, doesn't he? God's wonderful work. The next few verses, verse 3 and 4, say, "Well, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" Of the 8 billion people in the world today, who can come to God? And the answer is given. "The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god." The holy presence of God. Who can come? Well, whoever's perfect. Whoever's clean hands, pure heart. And scripture reminds us there's no one righteous, no, not one. And that's the bad news. That all 8 billion people living in the world today are guilty before God. These hands of mine are not clean, neither are yours. And that's a dreadful statement. Were it not for God's Son, he was righteous and he alone. No other son or daughter of Adam apart from Jesus. Verse 5 and 6 say something wonderful. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Saviour. Do you understand that word, vindication? Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Ah, vindication. No more blame. There's one who makes clean, one who is pure. Clean hands, pure heart. Who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Even Jacob, the deceiver, found grace through Christ. He's vindicated, washed clean by the blood of Christ, clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And then the psalm goes on. "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors." The gates up. Doors open. Why? That the King of Glory may come in. And who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Jesus enters in, the spotless, blameless Son of God. The one who has purchased men and women for God by his blood. And that's repeated for emphasis. The King of Glory has opened the door and he is the Saviour. He vindicates his people and he brings them with him to glory. Can you see yourself in Psalm 24? Can you see yourself here? Who can stand before him? There's only one security, the King of Glory. The one who paid the sacrifice for for your defilement and mine. I hope you can see yourself. I can see myself. And I see myself in there every day. Locked gates, open wide through Jesus. Today's sermon, though, or the rest of the messages, is about another sense where that metaphor of a door is used. You are alienated and now accepted. But there are 8 billion people on the earth. So many have not heard about Jesus at all. They don't even know anyone who can tell them about Jesus. There isn't anyone to tell them about Jesus. So many. So Paul is talking about not the open door through Jesus in the first place, but that he has an opportunity to minister to those who are lost. And he has unique opening to a city called Ephesus. Ephesus comes up in the Bible. A letter goes to Ephesus. But Paul's missionary journey tells us about Ephesus. And he says, I'm staying in Ephesus right now to the Corinthians because God has opened a door. He's an opportunity to do ministry. And he says the door is now open for him. It wasn't always open, was it? I don't know if you remember in the book of Acts that story. And there was Paul, and he was preaching, and people were losing business. They were the silversmiths who were making little statues of Diana and selling them for great profit and doing good business because of this idol worship. And Paul's preaching affected their business. And they started opposing Paul and rioting began. And there was a huge commotion, chanting. We see a lot of that going on today, isn't it? These people were really upset because they'd been whipped up by these people, these tradesmen. And Paul left that place soon after. Don't quite know how many years later he wrote these lines to the Corinthians. Now things are different. Now an open door came. And when he returns from his missionary journey, he says to the church at Antioch, the door of faith has been opened to the Gentiles. Amazing. Hearts were now open and receptive. The opposition was less. So there's two ways that the door metaphor is used in the Bible. And we want to think how that applies to us. An open door metaphor. The word door comes up a lot of times in Scripture. But here's something for us to pray about. And I need to pray about that. Maybe that's someone in your street. A neighbour, a contact, a work colleague. Someone that doesn't know Jesus. And you've tried in the past and it hasn't worked. You've tried and tried. And they just don't give you an opening. Keep praying. We need to pray for this city, for Launceston, for countries that the door of faith will be opened. David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa and he had this vision. He said he saw 1,000 villages and 1,000 fires of smoke coming up from those villages, indicating to him that nowhere amongst those villages, the name of Jesus was known. And that drove him to Africa as a huge missionary, that God opened a door for him. Let's just look at that verse a little more closely. Paul says, a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. He says in the first place, it's opened for me. It's a personal task that he's been given. It's a personal revelation that Paul has been given. And I don't think anyone here can say with that conviction as Paul does. He had asked for prayer. Pray for me. And here we see a very unique and a specific task that was given to the Apostle Paul. Hudson Taylor was also a great man in church history like that, wasn't he? And God put a burden on his heart for China. And for 50 years, he worked there and served. Great work of God. And he had a vision for the whole of China. And he enlisted the help of 1,000 or more missionaries. A huge organization. And God's people prayed. And some things that I've read recently are saying, as far as the church is concerned, perhaps China offers more hope for the world than any other country, where 10% maybe, up to 10% of the population of China professes faith in Christ. So Hudson Taylor was used of God for a great work. And that's what I said. It was a specific, unique charge given to Paul. A door was opened for me. But we also notice that it's something huge. He said, a great door. And I hear the word mega sometimes. Hear it from the grandkids sometimes. This is mega. Really big. It's a Greek word. A huge door. A mega door. And the English, a great door. When Hudson Taylor was trying to encourage people to support the work of mission work in China, he came up with a slogan. And he thought of all the people living in that great land of China. And he estimated that 1 million a month were dying without hearing about Jesus. Such a great population. 1 million a month. Going to a Christless and a lost eternity. Without Jesus. 1 million a month. Let me give you another statistic. And of course I talk often about India. Did you know that 2 million a month are born in India? 2 million babies every month. Today, 67,000 babies were born in India. On average, every day. 2 million a month who have 60 or 70 or 80 years on this earth to hear about Jesus. This morning we were challenged to think about our youth and our youth work and youth ministries and Sunday school. Our young people turn to Christ. Serve and love him. But for India, that's a massive number who have yet to hear, to live their lives before their end comes. So Paul had a mega door. And we have mega opportunities. And there are mega people on this earth. But thirdly, we see also something else. That an effective door has opened for me. When Paul wrote these lines to the Corinthian church, he said, that's why I'm not coming. It's now. It has opened to me. I can't defer this ministry. I've got to go now because the door is open now. And God was already performing a miracle. He was softening hearts in Ephesus. And church history tells us that this church in Ephesus became the powerful church for the work of the gospel in Europe. The work in Ephesus blossomed. Great work of God. And again, we can't put this verse into our situation. Paul said, for him, it has opened. But it does remind us about urgency, doesn't it? For Paul, it was urgency. And for Hudson Taylor, it was urgency. And as I said, there's so many people who have never heard about Jesus. Even in Launceston. I mean, there's lots of churches around. But so many people don't know the basics of who Jesus is and why he came and who they are. Paul didn't have years to wait because God gave him a charge. And fourthly, we're told, the apostle said, an effective work. It really was an effective work. He'd waited for years until he came back to Ephesus. For years, he couldn't work there. Then God poured out his spirit in an amazing way, and the atmosphere changed, and they became receptive to the gospel. Well, think about application then today. Psalm 24 tells us about the King of Glory. He made the heavens and the earth. He is the King of Glory. And he's opened the door so that we can come in and we have access through Jesus and through him have clean hands to approach the throne of grace. Not our righteousness, but his. But Paul also said that Satan was at work. Hostile forces are there. He always seeks to destroy. He always seeks to undermine the gospel. He always seeks to turn people away from the King of Kings. The Lord opens doors so that we can come in and be rescued. And Ephesus became the largest and most influential church in the world at that time of history. The application is for us. Without young people knowing Jesus personally, loving him and serving him, Riverbank is finished in a few years. Without a youth ministry, we need to keep working and serving and ministering to our boys and girls and young people. Paul says, perhaps I'll stay for a while or even spend the winter there so that you can help me on my journey when I go. Paul seeks their support. Paul is asking that the Corinthian church join him in giving that support. And every one of us are given a task, a ministry, a work to do. Not all the same. We can pray. We can give. We can speak. We can witness. We can do acts of kindness. But most of all, we can tell about our hope and our joy. Two themes today about doors. Two perspectives. One, that we're in Christ. And that should cause us to praise. So that's the first thing. Let's be praising people, thanking God for his mercy. But secondly, as we think about this second understanding, the second use of the word door, it should make us think about priorities. What's our priority? My priority, your priority. God has placed us here, right now. Right now. There was some urgency for Paul because the door had opened for him. I'm not being told where God wants me to serve, but there are opportunities. You can find those opportunities and I can find them. What's your personal ministry? What's mine? How are we serving God? He calls us to pray, and we want to do that and to realize that the power is from God. But he wants us to use this door, the door to reach out with the gospel of grace. I'd like to lead you in prayer. Father God, we think of so many situations in the world, troubling situations and situations of poverty and need and great darkness. We know that Satan is busy. He's working hard at Riverbank, trying to undermine and to destroy and to bring your word to nothing. But we know that you're all powerful and you are the King of Glory. And we come before you now and seek your presence among us. Thank you for those words that we could sing even this evening, that we might have broken hearts for the things that break your heart, for the people who are lost and live in darkness in this world. We think of the 2 million people that are born in India every month. And we pray, Lord, that they would be reached with the good news. That they might be able to tell it to their parents or to others or their children. That many would come to hear the good news of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the young people that are born in this church and that have been born and that are growing into maturity and adulthood. We pray, visit each heart with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you hear our prayers, and we pray as we have been challenged by these words from Paul, you might excite us and enthuse us to serve you for your glory and your honour and praise all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you hear us. Fill us with your Spirit each day. We ask this in your name. Amen.